Thanks for tuning in to The Rewind, where we dig back in our vault of previous shows. I'm your host, Alan Stein. On today's Rewind episode of the Pure Sweat Basketball Show...
Before I was able to transform the program, I actually had to transform myself.
Maybe I led you to believe it was easy when it wasn't. Maybe I made you think my highlights started at the free throw line and not in the gym.
Let's eliminate the will to win and think about the will to prepare to win.
That's how winning is done.
It's about being a great teammate. It's about being accountable to one another. It's about being tough. It's about doing the right things for each other, but it's about doing it every day.
This is Reese Davis from ESPN, and you're listening to the Pure Sweat Basketball Show.
Thank you for listening to the show dedicated to both coach and player development. I'm your host, Alan Stein. In today's episode, I talk shop with five-time CIS national champion Chantel Vallée, the head women's coach of the University of Windsor. Quick backstory. A native of Montreal, Quebec, Coach Vallée has built up the top women's basketball program in Canada at the University of Windsor. She won an unprecedented five straight CIS national titles from 2011 to 2015. During the 2012-2013 season, she made program history as they completed an undefeated regular season with a perfect 21-0 record and the number one ranking in Canada. She has won more Coach of the Year awards than one can count and is a headlining speaker at many of the PGC Glacier basketball clinics. Coach, I'm going to jump right in with the question that's on everyone's mind. Five straight CIS national championships. How?
This is a question I get the most, obviously, and my answer is very straightforward. People always ask me, how do you do it? How did you do it? And my first answer is like, before I was able to transform the program, I actually had to transform myself. And that's a question and an answer that people don't always like the answer to that question, because they said, what do you mean transforming yourself? And then that's when I get into the core of it. I had a chance to dream, like a lot of people, to become a full-time professional coach. That was my dream, my aspiration. And while I was in university, I thought, if I'm going to jump into this and become a full-time coach, I want to be the best. I don't want to go in this and just be mid-pack or mediocre or get fired after a few years. I want to become like a Pat Summitt, a John Wooden, a Gino Auriemma, somebody that, you know their art so well that they are at the top of it. So here came the idea of basing everything I do on research. Why not research those top coaches? So I applied to do a master's degree in 3 years of research with a very thorough researcher on the best coaches in the world and the best leaders in the world led me to create a model, a theoretical model, really, on what makes coaches successful. And later on, I just had to try to apply that to what I was doing on the floor with my basketball team.
So it started with some self-reflection and looking at yourself. What were some of the things that you had to change, or what was some of the things that research had you do differently once you found those things out?
It's really interesting, Alan, because literally I was sitting just across, like we're sitting across from each other with the top coaches, and asking them very open-ended questions. So there was nothing suggesting that they should give me an answer. It wasn't a survey that they had to fill. It was a conversation. And the questions were very open-ended, saying, what did you do to become successful? What do you think made you transform your program to a national champion? Tell me about your leadership style. And the more they were talking, the more we're recording the data, I realized I am so not like them. Oh. This is an issue here, because I thought to be the best in your field, you needed to be the best technician or tactician, or you needed to make the best in-game adjustment. It was about X's and O's. And I was certainly a junkie to you know, watching videos and going to clinics and understanding. And I thought I knew the game really well. But they never talked about that. That's not what they talked that set them apart from the crowd.
Uh-huh.
What set them apart from the crowd was their leadership style, their management of people, the way they recruit, how they are visionary, how they invest in the kids' individual growth, how they are organized. And I thought those were all themes and topics that, you know, to me it was fluff. I didn't think that's what made coaches successful.
And they're telling you that's the meat of what made them successful. It's the exact opposite. You thought it was fluff initially, and they're telling you that's why they're successful.
They're telling me that's why. And then I had to read a lot of different books. Of course, my supervisor at the master's level was extraordinary and had me read books on the military, the education system, the healthcare system, the business world. And the more I read about what makes leaders successful and all across the board, the more I realized these coaches get it. What they are, first and foremost, is extraordinary leaders. They could be CEO of companies. They could be leaders in any other field. But they choose that their art is basketball. So that made me realize that one year I produced a different plan, a yearly training plan. And in a yearly training plan, there's always three important phases. You have the physiological aspect. I mean, you need to, you know this more than anybody else. You need to be fit. You need to pick at the right time. Yep. You need to know how to taper an athlete. You know, this is very important, injury-free, so on and so forth. So we did this very well. Then you need to be sports specific. What are your tactics, your techniques, and how to grow the player, you know, in skill development.
Yep.
But there's another part of it, which is what I have now titled the art form.
Ah.
After this research, what is your art form? And this is all the leading, the management, and all this. So this is where I had to make the biggest grow in my own personal life. For example, I realized I was rather emulating very tough coach, because this is how I had been coached.
Mm-hmm.
You're very tough, you're unforgiving, it's my way, the highway, and I just emulated that. And I realized that successful coaches actually are not just tough, are not just caring, but they're everywhere in the spectrum, a continuum between tough and caring, and they have a way to individually identify a situation and respond the proper way to a proper player that sometimes is tough, sometimes is caring, sometimes somewhere in between. That was the biggest growth for me. I didn't know how to be all of these things and how to choose, and it was a lot of trial and error until I developed, I think, a coaching style, for example, that was able to be pretty on par with what the proper situation called for a behavior of my part.
Right.
And then my team grew because of that. The trust grew between me and the players. I learned to let go of control. That was very important.
I
think we
and
we're all...
And hard to do.
And coaches, you know, we think that we need to control everything. And in particular, even in terms of preparation, the more prepared we were, the more I thought we were going to win. But the over-preparation was often overwhelming for the athletes. So the scouting reports that were 10 pages long were not good for them.
Right.
A one-page scouting report actually improved our performances. So all this controlling was stemmed from a lack of confidence in I don't know if the team's well prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a reflection of me thinking I'm not prepared properly, that more is better.
Right.
And we came up with this slogan that less is more. Yeah. Less is more, less is better. And we totally changed the way that we managed the team. And that's when we started to see results. But it was a change of myself and our coaching staff first and foremost.
Wow. How long did the transition take? So you go from picking the brains of some of the best in the business and you're internalizing this and you're starting to figure out what you need to switch. How long before you, the program, and your players started to see some results and some change?
Well, I had a chance to apply this a lot before I took the job at the University of Windsor.
Uh-huh.
I was a head coach at a smaller college.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a 3-year in which I was researching and trying to apply at the same time. So I was not very good at it, but
gotcha.
We still saw transformation in the program where we were able to get to a national ranking. When I got to Windsor, the team was actually last in the country. So it was a very difficult situation.
Oh, wow.
And therefore, I think they took a chance on me. I was one of the coaches that applied that had a plan and a vision. And I think that the committee that was hiring thought, well, let's give this young coach a chance.
Yeah.
But I had never been the coach at that level of basketball in Canada. Straight from the get-go, I thought we have 5 years of eligibility in Canada. So my plan was, in 5 years, let's win our first national championship.
Okay.
And then because I had a little bit of 3 years of trial and error, I think I started at a better place at Windsor.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't take us 5 years to win the national championship for the first time. It took us 6.
Oh.
But it doesn't really matter in the
right.
end, right? And so it took us 6 years to win our first national championship. And I think that was in those 6 years, I became a much better coach. And after that, I thought I had really found my coaching voice. I knew who I was as a coach, and I knew what to do, what not to do. And then it's been obviously spectacular since then for me and in
yeah.
my profession. I would say 6 years and plus the 3. This is a long process. You know how they talk about the 10,000 hours to become
yes.
an expert in your field? It feels if I take those 6 years and the 3 years before that I had mm-hmm. in college trying to...
It's almost 10.
That's about how much time it takes you to actually master your art, which
yeah.
is go back to that art form. which is very important in developing a successful program.
For sure. And then you won that championship, and then you rattled off four in a row after that. What was harder, winning the first one or kind of keeping the crown and continuing to go? I mean, five, that is just absolutely unheard of. How do you create a culture where there's not complacency and entitlement, where the kids just think, well, we've won the last 3 years, why would we not win the fourth year?
It was a struggle.
I bet.
Alan, I actually, after we won the first one, which was very difficult because it was all the transformational process of bringing a team from last to first and so much work, I remember feeling, what do I do now? This was the entire reason for my existence in that program, was to bring it from last to first. That was the application of the theoretical model I had researched into practice. And I felt lost. And I was the first one to say that I wasn't even happy after that, because it felt my goal is over.
Yeah.
Now what?
You reach the mountaintop.
You reach the mountaintop. And there was nowhere in my goal or vision that I was going to want to maintain a program or sustain a program from winning. So I myself went through a very difficult time as a coach. And when we started the season again the following year, I was complacent. So I'm the first one to take the ownership of complacency is real. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a drag, and there was no more motivation. We had achieved it. And my team felt the same thing, because they had been the athletes working with me for 5 years to achieve that. So we all felt it. It was very difficult. And that's when going into January, when you get close to playoff season, we actually started to get hungry again. Wait a minute.
Good.
Yeah. Here we might have the chance to win again. We're a good team. And we change our mentality, we change our mindset to say, let's go back-to-back. Everybody was talking, can you do back-to-back, can you do back-to-back? But we struggle with complacency.
Mm-hmm.
That experience was unbelievable for me, because I had to learn to manage and deal with a team and feelings and emotion that I had not researched, mm-hmm. no idea how it felt like. And through the course of the year, what I did, I call coaches that have done back-to-back championship.
That's brilliant.
Right?
Brilliant.
How did you feel? What do you do? What did you do? How did you deal with your team? And the only reason I did this is because I had done the research before, and that had helped
and
me
it worked.
Change. And it worked.
Yeah, so go back to it.
Why not do more research?
Love it.
Who is in this, in North America, who in the world have done back-to-back in whatever sport, whatever field, give them a call. People are very generous of their time. When you call them, they'll share with you.
That's awesome.
And I had the chance to receive a lot of great advice, which I then applied. We went back to back. And being back to back was a joy.
Yeah.
Being the first time national champion was a drag. It was so difficult. Back to back was a joy. And then in the third and the fourth, it was just us wanting to win again. The fifth one was very spectacular, because it was setting the being part of the record of the most win national championship in a row. And it was with a team that probably was my weakest team of all those 5 years. Absolutely.
Wow.
My best stars had graduated and were professionals in Europe. And I had a team of a little bit of leftovers that we thought were just the subs and the role players.
Yep.
But when these women said, we have never lost in our entire career, we are in our fifth year of eligibility, we're not going to lose. And they did. And they taught me a lot. And this was really a transformational process to me again.
Wow. So you had a couple that were there for all five of them.
We have two girls.
Two that were there for all
five. Two that were there for all five. And it was their decision to say,
that is remarkable,
we're not losing this coach. And,
yeah.
and they taught me a lot. And that is part of what the art form of what makes a coach successful is, to allow to learn from your players. You know, that's very difficult for coaches. It's easy to...
Very.
Yeah. It's easy to
especially
to talk
older
about
coaches.
It.
When you're coaching players that are 20, 30 years younger than you are, and that can be very challenging. But I really applaud that you're able to do that. That's a sign of high security and allowing yourself to be vulnerable and admitting that you don't know everything all the time, and that they've got some great value that they can add.
And that's what I learned from the expert coaches, that they were able to do this. It's more of a partnership. Players know what's going on in the team room. They know what's going on the floor. And we lose touch with reality as the years go by. We don't really know really how they feel. Is it too much training? What defense they feel the most comfortable with? Or do they want to win or not?
Right.
And I thought my players we're not going to win. We don't have those two girls that are now our top pro players. No, they had a different mindset. And me listening to them allowed me to grow and allow them to be champions.
Now, with all that said, looking back, if you had to pick one, is it harder to become a champion or harder to stay a champion?
Oh, they're both extremely difficult.
Yeah.
I think they're both very different, and they require a different skill set from the coaches. Maintaining a program that wins is difficult, because you become the target,
mm-hmm.
the people hunt at you, and everybody likes an underdog. but not everybody likes the top dog. And right. and you deal with a lot of different emotion from opponents in the league. So
well, especially after five in a row.
Yeah. So I have to say emotionally, being on top is more difficult to maintain that.
Gotcha. I didn't get a chance to see your presentation here at PGC, but folks are raving about it. How to build a successful program. And I know that's kind of the theme of what we've been talking about. What are the main pillars for someone that didn't get a chance to see that talk?
Absolutely. We found out there was four higher order category that really puts together this art form of coaching. And one of them is the organizational skill part of what a coach does. And mm-hmm. that would involve recruiting. Obviously, this is all nice stuff, but unless you have the horses to go with in the race, you can't win. So recruiting is really a big part, planning, management, administration, organizational skills. Then there's the coach's attributes, which involves the coach's ability to learn and commitment to continue to learn, and coach's specific characteristics, which has to involve all kinds of emotion and psychological balances between being tough and caring, you know, and the way you manage the people. There's an individual growth category, which is focused on the player's growth personally in terms of basketball, but also life skills and empowering that player. That's very specific to millennials in these days,
very much.
Which are asking the question, what's in it for me?
Yes.
And instead of being frustrated about what's in it for them, we need to answer that question the leadership style. And at the core central of that model, which is the most important category and the fourth one, is the vision. Top leaders have to be visionary, and they have to have a plan and a vision. And I always say, if a coach sets their vision and their dream or their plan to be top 10 or top 25, they'll probably do it. National contender, they'll probably do it. National champion was our plan, and we've achieved it.
Awesome. Going back to the first pillar that you mentioned, recruiting, getting the right horses in, what exactly are you looking for a young lady to figure out, not only from a skill set standpoint, but from a culture and character standpoint, if they're going to be able to fit into your system and this ideology you've created?
Well, that's such a great question. I think that there's no doubt that, first of all, we do look for talent, yeah. obviously, but we can get stuck on talent. Talent is only a potential. Mm-hmm. And talent sometimes doesn't reach its potential. So that's part of it. A great character person. A lot is to be told when you go to a home visit and you meet the family and the mm-hmm. way an athlete will treat her mom or her dad, the way that they will treat the athletes around them, if they achieve captaincy status in their team, or if they haven't, are they okay with their role? Or are they always complaining or negative? The character piece of it is essential. In the end, it is more important to build a program with good character people than with talented athletes that you just can't manage. We've passed on very talented athlete because they didn't have the character to go with it. And it's a blue chip when you find both.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to go after.
Yeah, especially if you're trying to win at the rate that you're winning. How about as far as assistant coaches? What do you expect from or need from your assistants?
In Canada, we have a very unique assistant coaching position. We don't have full-time coaches. So everybody that works with me has a full-time job and comes at night and give an incredible amount of their time to the program. So obviously the onus of recruiting, scouting, everything that has to do with the main coach falls on my shoulders. So we need to really be able to delegate and trust that they can pick up some of this needed responsibilities. Being able to trust them is very important. Trusting that they are behind you and asking for their loyalty. As long as you have a loyal assistant, I think you're set for success.
Cool. Last question, and you've kind of touched on this in so many different ways, but if you could go back to your first year as a coach, first year in coaching, not even just the head coach at Windsor, and give yourself a piece of advice, what would you tell yourself?
You don't know anything. Keep learning.
At the time, though, did you think you knew everything?
Oh, you do.
How
you
crazy
do,
is that? In
it's
our
so
20s,
crazy.
We all thought we knew everything. Yes. And now I'm 40 and I realize how little that I do know. It's very humbling.
It's unbelievable. I tell this story in one of my presentations. I was 25 doing this research and I thought I knew it all. Uh-huh. Then I realized, what was I thinking, right? And then you turn 30 and you think, well, now I know it all. How did I think I knew it all at 25? Then you turn a little older and you're like, wow, this is just this never ending. So that would be my piece of advice for everybody. Never stop learning. You don't know it all.
Of all the coaches and leaders that you interviewed, is there one thing, maybe one light bulb moment that sticks out that you remember that they shared something? I know most of probably what they shared, the genius is in the simplicity. They're sharing the basics of what it takes. But is there a story or anything you can remember that you were just like, wow?
I think they were all very extraordinary, every single one of them. Their relentless drive to recruit like it or not, it's never ending. And the energy that head coaches have to stay in the job on a long-term basis is unbelievable. And I wasn't sure I could do it. I was looking at them. I thought, I don't know, like, if I'm going to be able to do that. But you get into the system and you have to enjoy it. I think all these coaches had an enormous amount of joy in what they were doing. It wasn't a chore. It was joyful.
It was passion.
I think it was passion. I think that's a very important quality.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. This was phenomenal.
Thank you so much, Alan.
Well, that's it for me. Thanks for listening. I hope we helped you raise your game. Please follow at Pure Sweat on Twitter and Instagram for a steady stream of training content. And check out the Pure Sweat Facebook page for our latest videos and exclusive Facebook Live events. All right, let's get back in the gym.